As I said, it's lovely this morning to be able to share about the work of ACRI with you folks. And can I just say at the very beginning, thank you. I know many folk in the church here have been praying and prayed for the work for many, many years. Long before I came into the work 15 years ago, they've been praying for the work and New James and Dory and some of the other missionaries of the past. And we really do appreciate the church here standing with us and supporting the work financially as well as prayerfully. We really do appreciate that and want to say publicly a thank you to all of you this morning for what you do for us in the work of ACRI. We look over the last 84 years of the work and we give thanks to the Lord for his faithfulness and for his blessing right up until today. And I'm excited about what God is doing in the work of ACRI today. Excited to see what God has planned for us, God willing, in the future. We're just so excited, and we'll share a little bit about that as we go along this morning. Thank you. Some of our workers that are in the mission, on the next slide, and again, these are just some of the workers that we have scattered across Brazil, the ACRI state of Brazil, Amazonas in Brazil. We have 11 families, sets of workers in the northeast of Brazil in a little place called Rio Grande do Norte, the northeast corner of Brazil. It looks like a little elephant at the very northeast corner of Brazil. Then we have our workers in Portugal and also the workers in Lanzarote. And just over the last couple of months, one of the couples who was out in Portugal, Jeffrey and Mariana Ferguson, have now come back to Northern Ireland, and they're assisting us in the work here at home. The workload just has got so great that a couple of years ago, the committee of our mission said to me, you need to find someone to come and help you in the work, because the workload is getting is increasing, and we need you to look for someone else to help as well in the work. And we were praying over the last couple of years that God would direct the right person to us. We thought of many different people, but it just didn't happen. And then Jeffrey and Mariana, they had to come home because of residency issues with Mariana because she's German. And they'll be home anyway for the next 5 years, they hope to be here. It's a loss to Portugal, but we're so glad to have them on board with us here at home. And we're so thankful to the Lord for the gifts and abilities and talents that they also have. And as we plan many different aspects of the work, God willing, when this COVID disappears, we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. And do pray for them as they settle in. They're living in Moneymore, just outside Cookstown. And we're hoping that they will be involved in the west side, in Fermanagh, Tyrone, Londonderry, in those counties along the border areas as well, that we'll be able to develop the work there with them and opportunities to share in meetings and deputize for the other workers. We're planning also to have outreach in the summer. And if you're young folk who would like to get involved with us in the summer, we have 3 days or 4 days in County Down in July. The dates will be on the ACRI web Facebook page. We have 4 days coming up now in July that we're going to do literature outreach because we can't take teams away this year, of course, with the pandemic. 4 days of outreach in County Down where we're going to towns like Warren Point, and we're going to bring the gospel there to many, many homes in Warren Point. We're also going to another town called Drumness, which is just outside Ballinahinch. And we're also then going to go to County Antrim, up into the north coast, then in August for 4 days or 5 days then, where we're doing different villages and towns. Quite a number of them maybe don't get Christian literature put into them very often. That's where we want to go and to reach out to the folk. So we value your prayers for that outreach in the summer. And again, if you know any young folk would like to come and join us for that, we would love them to get in touch with us and join us for those things in the summer. As I said, many of our missionaries here, we haven't time to speak of them all this morning, but thank you for praying for them. Just to mention Dr. Bill Woods, he's the second one across at the top on the left-hand side there. Bill Woods, many folk have prayed for Bill for many years. Bill is now 84 years old and coming 85. Bill has had cancer for over 10 years. He is now home in Northern Ireland, but he's chomping at the bit to get back to Brazil again because he wants to go back to the people that he loves and the country that he loves and the work that he loves. And he's only 84. That's why I said there's no retirement in God's work. Isn't that right? And please pray for Bill. Bill is having chemotherapy. He's been having it for about 2 years now. a different type of chemotherapy. He gets it every month. His bloods came way down. They were very bad. And do pray for them that God will just, again, touch him and help him. One of the things that we'd asked prayer for just recently was that Bill would get into a sheltered accommodation, because he lives in a little apartment in Bangor on the first floor, but he's lots of steps to climb and two big doors to go through, and his mobility wouldn't be as good. And so the Lord has answered that prayer just over the last week, and he's now got accommodation in a sheltered dwelling, which we're, again, so thankful for. And then he has the assurance, of course, there of having other people around him to help him just in case he needs them. I should tell you this. He would have my life. I hope he's not watching this morning for telling you this, but he gets a taxi up into the supermarket to get some shopping, and he got the taxi, and there's a little lady who lives underneath in the apartment underneath him, and if she sees the taxi coming and Bill trying to get out of it, she'll go and help him, and she'll bring his groceries in. And anyway, the taxi man stopped, and Bill was getting out with his groceries, and the little lady came out to get his groceries and to help him, and the wee taxi man said, there's your wife coming to help you. Now, if you know Bill, Bill's not married. And he said, there's your wife coming to help you. And Bill looked and he said, oh, no, she's not my wife. And the taxi driver says, oh, don't worry, the one I live with's not my wife either. So poor Bill. We're so thankful for what the Lord is doing through his life and ministry and has done over so many years. If you haven't got the book, I want you to do something. Get your hands on that book and read it, because it'll challenge your heart. It'll bless your heart. It'll just help you to give thanks to the Lord for what God has done in one person's life and in reaching out to lives of thousands and thousands of people there in Brazil. Thank you. I want to take you back to Brazil again this morning, and that's so far away I can't read it, even though I've my glasses on, but the population of Brazil, since I've put that up there, is 213 and a half million people that live in Brazil. Now, we think Northern Ireland's big, don't we? And we haven't even got 2 million people here. But 213 and a half million people that live in Brazil. It tells you there of some of the cases of the coronavirus. We were hearing of up to 4,000 people dying with the virus every single day in the land of Brazil. Up in Acre as well, in Manaus especially, and maybe you saw that in your news bulletins away back there in February, March time. It was horrific there in the city of Manaus. The city there has just over 2 million people. Next slide, please. And the city there has over 2 million people, and every single day, people were dying. They were burying at least 200 people a day in the graveyards. They had to bring in diggers and dig mass graves and put people into them. There was no oxygen in the hospitals. And the people were sharing, up to five people sharing one oxygen tank. It was horrendous, folks, what was happening. They had huge queues of people that were outside, miles of ambulances coming to hospitals trying to get people in. They put up tents outside the army to try and also help people. But they had to bring in refrigerated lorries because so many were dying to put the bodies in before they were buried. And I could tell you over and over again, and you saw there in some of the pictures, just some of the horrific pictures. But you know, way back in January and February time, we don't normally make appeals in our mission. We don't do that because we trust God to meet the needs of the work. But we felt very much in our hearts that we should do something to help the people in Brazil. And so we made an appeal back in February time, or end of January, February time, to try and reach out to our brothers and sisters there and the many, many people there in Brazil with aid. And to date, we have sent out just over £100,000. We give God all the praise and all the glory. You know, whenever we started the appeal, we've been so overwhelmed by what God has done. And that money has helped tens of thousands of people, and that's what I want to share with you this morning here as we see some of these pictures. Tens of thousands of people that we have tried to reach out to there in Brazil, not only with aid, but also with the gospel, which is so important. A couple of slides back, it showed three different slides. The first slide showed the children's ministry in Barra Nova, the first slide you see here. And that's Pastor Herbert, who is one of the pastors that works with us out there in the city of Manaus. He works in the Hebron church there. And we're so thankful again for what God has done through the church, and because we need all of these workers to administer the aid for us. And this little work in Barra Nova is very special to us. They get about 80 children there on a Sunday afternoon. And again, a very, very poor area. These kids have nothing. You've maybe heard me talk about it before here in Brookside. And every Christmas we send out money that friends of ours do crafts, and they sell the crafts and they make the money to send out to this little work every Christmas to be able to buy those kids Christmas presents. And to see their wee faces light up just with a little present that they get, it blesses your heart. They also get food parcels. They get shoes. They get clothes. And that money that we send out goes all through the year for to help these kids and also to bring the gospel to them. The picture in the middle shows the leper colony. And there, again, it's away outside the city of Manaus. They put it away out there many years ago to get all the leprosy patients away out of the way because they didn't want to catch leprosy, many people. But we're able to go out there whenever we're in Brazil and to visit folk like this lady in her little wooden house. She hasn't got much, as you can see there. But they were able to take aid out to the leprosy patients and the folk that live in the leper colony and be able to not only share the aid there, but to share the gospel with these folk. The last picture, again, is one of our great friends, Cesar, and his wife, Sulamita, are very involved with us in the work. And again, the aid program in some of the poor areas there of the city of Manaus. Thank you. Again, as I said, this shows just the graveyard and the grief. There was a new tribes missionary there called Phil Jansma. Some of you might have heard of him. And Phil and his wife, Christy, although they work for New Tribes, we're all workers together, aren't we? And Phil took COVID and dengue fever, and he ended up in hospital. Phil and Christy have 12 children, okay? Six belong to them. Six are adopted Brazilian children. They were in the throes of opening an orphanage there in the city of Manaus because there are so many thousands of children that have nobody. They were in the throes of doing that whenever he took COVID. They just moved into that new house, a big house for them, just not very long before. And sadly, he died. Left Christy with the 12 children. Again, many folks sent us gifts that we were able to send out and to help them. They have gone back to America again. Christy and the 12 kids have gone back to America where they're from for a time of respite and just to, again, grieve. And also then to see what's going to happen in the future as they go back to Brazil, God willing. Please pray for them, pray for her, pray for the kids that God will help them and sustain them during this time. Do you know, it's very sad because nobody could go to the funeral. One child could go, and the leader of New Tribes were allowed to go, and that was it. And this happened over and over again. Many people couldn't even afford to buy an 8-pound cross, a little wooden cross, as a marker in the graveyard to put their loved one's name on. They couldn't even afford to do that, many folk. Horrific to see the scenes of this. Thank you. As I said, we sent aid out there, not only just to Manaus, but also up the river. And this is Pastor Herbert here with some of the food that was sent up river to some of the other villages and towns along the river to be able to help the folk there. We sent it to the pastors of the churches. They distributed it out. We also bought oxygen tanks. As I said, 5-6 people were sharing one oxygen tank. Again, if you saw the footage on the news, it showed people coming with empty oxygen tanks, crying out for someone to fill them, to help them, because their loved one was at home and couldn't breathe. And that was reality all over the city of Manaus. Thank you. Added to the affliction of COVID, then in February time came flooding. And in many of the towns that we work in, Rio Branco, Cena Madureira, Tarawaká, Boca do Acre, Manuel Urbano, Cruzeiro do Sul, in many of these towns, flooding came into the town. The rivers burst their banks because of the torrential rain, and homes were destroyed. Homes were lost as they were washed down the river because they build right on the side of the river because that's their livelihood. And you can see here in the middle picture them walking up the main street of the town. And then, of course, in the picture here on the right-hand side, you see the woman with a massive big fish in her garden. Boy, they were delighted because they brought their tea to the house. They didn't have to buy it. I actually watched footage of people out in the streets with nets, throwing the nets out and bringing huge catches of fish in from the street. And so the poor fishmongers were done out of a job and done out of money, I suppose, at the time. But as I said, people lost their homes. Thank you. Many folk died, as I said, and some people that we knew, and I haven't time to speak about these folk today, who died during the pandemic as well. People that we spent time with in January of last year were in their homes for meals, and COVID took them. And it's horrific, and you know, every day Victor Maxwell was ringing me and saying, bad news for you today, bad news for you today. He says, all we have ever hear at the minute is bad news, isn't it? But many folk that we loved and served along with us out there, many pastors that we knew that COVID took their lives. But thank God they've gone home to be with Christ, which is far better, isn't that right? But do pray for the so many folk that we knew and loved. Thank you. In Rio Branco, one of our pastors there, quite often with our work, whenever a pastor gets into a church and establishes a church and works with a church, and the church then become self-sufficient, then the mission pull out of that. Pastor Anton Nielsen, the guy here in the blue t-shirt, he is one of our workers there in Rio Branco in the city. And we asked him if he would coordinate all of the aid that went out there to Acre. And so he very willingly said, no problem. He's a very busy young man, but he felt that he should help us and got a whole team together. And they were able to go into Rio Branco in the city, right down by the river. They were able to distribute aid. But as I said already, not only just give aid to the people, but also bring spiritual aid. Because every single home they went to, they prayed in that home and they read God's word and they left literature in every single home. Thank you. They, of course, went to the flood victims as well. I wouldn't like to have parked my car there. Whenever you see that car, it wouldn't have been worth driving again. But that just shows you something of some of the streets of the towns. Thank you. Cinnamonarera is a town that I've been in. And it takes about 4 hours in the car to get from Rio Branco to Cinnamonarera. Now, we complain about the potholes in Northern Ireland, don't we? Well, you've never seen potholes like it. That's why it took us so long, because you had to really actually nearly beep the horn going in because somebody else was coming out the other side. And Tom Geddes had 5 of us in the car, and the week afterwards his car was nearly wrecked because of the potholes and all of us in the car and going all the way to Cinnamonarera. But they were in great need. And so Pastor Anton Nielsen and his team, they put together 350 food parcels, which would do a family a month. They put together the food parcels, and again, because of the pollution, there was no clean water supply in these towns, and so they bought big bottles of water, 350 or 400 of those as well, and they hired out a lorry. They worked tirelessly to get all this stuff, and they drove all the way to Cinnamonarera from Rio Branco with the aid. Now, the part of the road was closed because of the flooding, and we prayed very much that that would open up, and they just got through. They couldn't take cars or vans. They had to take a lorry to get through the floodwaters. And here again, you see in the picture, an aerial view in the church of the food parcels and that there. One of the young men who was there is another New Tribes missionary who maybe some of you, well, you might not know him, but you might know his father. His father's name is Edwin Putz. Anybody know him? I'm sure you've seen him on the TV in the last few days anyway. But Samuel and Noebi, his wife is a Brazilian girl. They work with a tribe in the Acre part of Brazil. But they were down in Rio Branco, and Samuel, he's in the green t-shirt there in the middle of the picture. Samuel very willingly came and would be very willing to help us at any time, but came and helped them distribute the aid. And of course, they went out into the town of Cinnamonarera. They went out onto the rivers and boats, and they took it up the rivers to certain people that needed aid as well. Thank you. Cruzeiro do Sul, another girl called Glessiani, who is one of our helpers there. Glessiani, she also took aid there as we got aid, our money sent to her, and the aid there. And you can see her in the boat here. You can see her wading through the water. How many of us would do that? Truthfully, up to our waist in water. And I mean, that's sewage water and everything there. But she was willing to take the aid to people and to take the gospel to them. And we're thankful for folk like this that are sacrificial in giving their time and their talents to reach out. Thank you. And again, just some of the pictures of them in little canoes, little boats, trying to reach out to folk. And that's a lady standing in her home and the water coming right through her home. And they try to lift the furniture up then to try and stop it being all ruined with the water. Thank you. This is Tarawaka, one of the other towns. This is where some of you will know Dr. Tom and Lucy Margetis. Dr. Tom and his first wife, Ethel, worked here in Tarawaka for many years. He was the doctor. Ethel was the midwife and the nurse. They built the hospital there and saw a tremendous work done for God there in Tarawaka. And Lucimar was saved as a young girl of 8 years of age. This is the town that she's from. And she rang me so upset because, again, so many people lost their homes. So many had COVID. Will you pray for Lucimar's mother? She's nearly 90 years of age. And just a couple of weeks ago, she took COVID. She's got pneumonia now, severely in her lungs. Pray for her that God will touch her. Lucy's granny lived until she was 108. So I think her mother was hoping to do the same. And pray for Lucy's brother and sister-in-law and nephew who have all just got out of hospital. They have been severely ill with COVID. It's not gone away. It hasn't gone away here. And it certainly hasn't gone away in Brazil. I just heard again this morning, I got a message about another New Tribes missionary who flies the planes in and out. And he has actually taken COVID and he's in intensive care, critically ill. He's from Cruzeiro do Sul. Please pray for him, that God will touch him too. And so pray for Lucy's family because her brother and sister-in-law and her nephew are not saved. And we're praying that God will work in their hearts, especially now. Her nephew's involved in a cult. And pray that God opens their hearts and that they'll come to know Christ as their Savior. Pray for the towns of Tarawaka as well. Thank you. My time is nearly gone, so I better hurry up. As I said, we're seeing the multitudes of people that we've read about this morning. The Lord Jesus saw the pity of the harvest. He saw multitudes, didn't he? Those as sheep without a shepherd. Those who were heedless and careless, it talks about here. The Lord Jesus had compassion on them and how we need to have compassion for those that are lost. Again, some of the other towns and some of the other aid, this is in Tarawaka as well, and another town called Feijó that our workers work in. Thank you. In Boca do Acre, one of the other towns, again, it's the same situation there. The team in Rio Branco, they got all the aid together. They put it in a truck, and they drove all the way to Boca do Acre as well. And they were able to go out in the river, as you see in the bottom picture. That's Pastor Anton Nielsen there with the mask half on his face. And he is out in the river there distributing the aid around many of the folk. And the top picture shows one of the Indian tribes where they also went to with aid as well. Thank you. And again, just some more pictures of the remote homes on the river. They're floating houses that they go to and bring the gospel to them. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Anton Nielsen, about 6 weeks ago, we got word to say that he also had contracted COVID-19. And all of the team who were with him in that photograph all contracted COVID-19. He was critically ill in hospital. And we felt a huge responsibility here at home because we were the ones that had asked him to do this for us. Well, it was for the Lord, but for us as well. And we felt a huge responsibility, and tell you, it brought us very much to our knees to pray that God would raise him up and touch him again. He's a great young man and so enthusiastic in the things of God, and nothing is too much for him. And so his wife was away with her son, getting him into university, and we had to fly her back home again from Paraguay to get her there to be with him because he was so critically ill. Thank you. But I'm so glad that the Lord touched him. And just a few weeks ago, he got out of hospital. And on the picture there, it said, the first picture there on the left, that picture that he's pointing out there in the hospital, it just says, God is faithful. And we're so thankful for the faithfulness of God. That not just him, but all of that team have recovered from COVID. And we're thankful for that. And the bottom picture shows people from the church had all come out to greet him when he came out of hospital. They were singing choruses. They were singing hymns. They were all hugging him. And we thought, COVID? You're not supposed to hug anybody because they don't learn out there. And they were rejoicing that their pastor had got out of hospital. And just 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago today on Sunday, they had a Thanksgiving service in the church whenever all of those, that team, were able to get together and they were able to thank the Lord for his faithfulness, for his healing touch upon their lives, and for the blessing of being able to distribute the aid. Anthony Nielsen is again back helping us again, distributing more aid because, as I said, COVID hasn't gone away. There's waves of COVID in many of those towns and villages again. Because of the flooding, they had to put up tents, and the tents then, people had no homes, so they lived in the tents together, communally, and of course, COVID just spread rapidly around the folk. Some people lived in their dugout canoes because they had nowhere else to go, and they were afraid to go to the communal areas to live. And that's the way it's been. And so they're trying to rebuild their lives. They're trying to rebuild their homes. And we very much value prayer for that. Thank you. And again, as the flooding is subsiding, do pray for people as they, again, rebuild their homes there too. Thank you. We're so thankful for what God is doing, not just there in that part of Brazil, but let me finish with this because my time is gone this morning. But in the northeast, in Rio Grande do Norte, where I spoke about, we're excited about what God is doing there. We have 11 families, as I said, are serving the Lord there. But our pastors are living in the towns and villages. Whenever we were there last January, we were able to go to most of those towns and see the work for ourselves. We are seeing churches being built and established in towns. Because in 71 villages and towns in the northeast, that little place of Rio Grande do Norte, that little state of Brazil, in 71 towns and villages, there's absolutely no gospel witness at all. And so our pastors, they're always looking out. One of our pastors, Pastor Iran, who works in a place called Campo Redondo, Pastor Iran has a burden for the lost, and he's always looking for somewhere else to reach out to. And so there are three churches that he works in, as well as his church there in Campo Redondo. James and Dorry Gunning, way back after they retired from the mission, they come back to Northern Ireland to retire, and God challenged them to go back to the northeast of Brazil, to an area that we had never worked in before, and to go there and to bring the gospel, to head up the work there. And James and Dorry obeyed the call of God in their 70s, and they went to Brazil again. They didn't know where they were going to live. A lady met them at the airport with a key of her home in Campo Redondo in the interior of that state. And she said, I'm going to live with my daughter. There's the key of my home. Go live there. And so they lived just down the street where they established the little church from. And they said that, well, because they were white, they had a half door in the house. And she said, everybody used to come and used to stand and they used to look at us as if we're strange. They used to watch us all the time. But they were faithful and they preached the gospel. And a number of our pastors who've been with us for quite a number of years in the Northeast were all saved through James and Dorry's ministry there in the Northeast of Brazil. Pastor Iran is one of them and his wife Socorro. Whenever we were there back last January in the church there in Campo Redondo, it really thrilled my heart to see what God is doing there. And I hope this is just an encouragement to you as you pray for the work today. Because the church was so packed out, they were sitting outside. And Iran was showing us the plans of the wall behind the pulpit. And there's a room behind that. They were taking the wall down and extending the church. Wouldn't that be a great blessing to have in Northern Ireland, wouldn't it? They're extending the church, and they did that over the pandemic time. They fixed the church and extended it all. Within a week, they had it all finished. And to see that church, well, obviously not full at the minute because of COVID, but to see so many people coming and going and the work continuing on. But one of the areas that he asked us to pray for was a place called Serra do Doctor. It's another little town outside Campo Redondo with no witness. And for a number of years, he's been working there. And again, they have been doing open airs because that's what they do quite a lot out there. They just bring a few patio chairs and they bring a microphone and a speaker and they go out with a guitar and they preach the gospel in the street. Or maybe they go to someone's home and there they use that as an opportunity to bring the gospel. And he said to me a couple of months ago about a piece of ground that they were looking at. And again, the friends of ours that do the crafts, they were telling me that they had some money from the craft that we can use for projects. And we were able to send the money over to buy that piece of ground. It only cost £3,000. for a piece of ground. Quite a considerable piece of ground as well. And I was sharing about it a few weeks ago in a church. And as I said, we never appeal for things, but I just happened to say we were able just this week to get that piece of ground, and we're so excited about what God is going to do in the future. And a man rang me 2 days later, and he said to me, "How much is it to build a church out there?" I don't know what your guess would be, but I said, "Well, it costs somewhere in the region of £15,000 to £20,000 to build a church." He said, "That's okay, I'll send you the money, and you can build that church in Serra do Doctor." Do you know, it's very humbling to see God at work, but it thrills our hearts. And we give him all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, because he alone is worthy this morning, isn't he? That's what God can do. And we're praying that as the foundations are going in at the minute, they don't waste time over there, let me tell you. He had the plan sent, whenever I told him that the money was coming for the church, he had the plan sent through to me in 2 days. It's not an elaborate building with fancy things in it. It's very basic. But that's where the gospel will be preached. And I know and I believe that that'll be a Bethel for souls in the coming days, where people find Christ as their Savior. I could tell you about so many works there in the Northeast and so many church builds that are happening there. We have 3 other churches that are being built at the minute. And that excites us to see that. And I look forward to COVID being over. We all do, don't we? And I look forward to getting out there to Brazil again, especially to the Northeast, to see what God is doing there. And we're thankful that he's building his church. And thankfully, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank you for your prayers. I mean that today. I could talk all day. I've talked a whole lot, haven't I? You know, the last verse that we read together talks about the Lord of the harvest, doesn't it? He is the power of the harvest today. It's not our work, but it's his work. And all we need to do is be laborers together with him. Like the wee boy who brought his lunch, all he had was just those loaves and fish, nothing much. But God is able to take the little, isn't he? The little that we do, the little that we give, God is able to take the little. That little seed that we sow, God is able to take the little, and God is able to make it much. Thank you for listening, and I hope I haven't talked too long. Well, I normally talk. You know what I'm like here, don't you? I kind of say that the ACRI, the latest little magazine is out there on the tables on the way out. Please take one with you, and that will give you a little bit of insight again into what we've been talking about today. It's full of pictures of all those different things that we've shared about. And you'll notice on the bottom at the front, it talks about our ACRI Zoom prayer meeting. I didn't know what Zoom was to this time last year. I thought it was just a fast car going up the road. And, well, we have a Zoom prayer meeting that we've been having now for a year, and it's been a great encouragement and blessing to us. It's actually on tomorrow night. It's always the first Monday of the month, and the details of that are actually on the bottom of that. If you'd like to sign in, we have probably upwards on 70. And Pastor Iran, who I'm speaking about now, who's building that church, he'll be on sharing about that tomorrow night. And it's lovely to have all the Brazilians on with us, and the ones from Portugal on, and the ones from Lanzarote on, that folk can actually see the people that they've been praying for. So if you'd like to log in and join us, we would love you to do that tomorrow evening. And as I say, the details are there on the magazine.